Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Truth Media Network. It's Scarlett Butler, and I have just a little PSA that goes to Mike Johnson, chick speaker. This guy needs to be ousted. He is deep state. He is scum. He actually voted for money to go to other countries when our country is in such a state of array because we have a shithead president who likes to touch and feel up children. Okay? And now, I think our Congress is numbnuts. It's just numbnuts. Okay? Close the border, people. But they won't do it because they want all the illegals to come in and kill us. Agenda 21, genocide. And now, it's the truth is out there, voice of the people, radio show. And let me bring on our host, Joe Goldner.
Good morning, everyone. We got a big show coming out today, and it's going to be really interesting because we're talking about candidates that is running for Congress in one of the states that really needs a lot of help. It's horrible. For you who don't know, it's Michigan. This person has got to be a hero because he's getting into the thick of things in Michigan, and there's a lot of problems there. Let me introduce you to the congressional candidate out of CD1, J.D. Wilson. How you doing, J.D.?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it.
Let me ask you a simple question. Why are you running for Congress?
Oh, that's not a simple question. There's a little bit of insanity involved for sure. So I'm not a career politician. I'm a small business guy. I am absolutely fed up with what I see going on around us. I feel like we're being sold out by our politicians, not just on the Democratic side, but by the Rhino Republicans. And there's a definite trend where you're seeing bank accounts go up and voting records go down. And I feel like I need to do something for my children and for my forthcoming grandchildren. I can't stand by idly anymore and watch this happen.
What do you think? What was your impression when you saw yesterday yesterday during the day at the House in D.C. in the Capitol, where after they voted to supply $61 billion to Ukraine, $27 or $26 billion to Israel, some money to Taiwan and other areas, and not doing anything for our country or anything like that. And then after they passed it all, they start all the Democrats, or I call them Comocrats or communists, start raising the flag and waving the Ukraine flag in the House of Representatives, in Congress, celebrating, but using the way everybody waving Ukrainian flag. What an insult.
It absolutely is. The whole thing is disgusting. I mean, we have got to take care of our own borders before we go taking care of other countries' borders. It's ridiculous. The latest numbers I have are that 10 million illegals, I have nothing against immigrants, illegal immigrants, 10 million, which is equal to the population of Michigan, have come over the border since Biden took office. It's just astounding.
Yeah, 1.8 million gotaways that we know of, and all that fentanyl and drugs and everything. They recovered, or seized, down at the Texas border enough fentanyl to kill every single person in Michigan and around the country. It's been that way for months, if not for the last 3 years, actually. And it's deliberate.
And on top of that, the human trafficking, the sanctuary jurisdictions, which a lot of people misunderstand to just being friendly and come here, and really that's not what it is. Really it is ignore ICE warrants for criminals, for known people that are violators, drug cartel members, the coyotes, the traffickers, the whole bit. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah, it's crazy. And in Michigan alone, it's all over. The crime rates in the cities like Detroit, and crime is horrible, and it's getting worse. And the truth and the defunding the police, and election. I don't know if you know or not, but Denver and a couple other cities around the country are starting defunding the police so they can pay for all the illegals coming in. You know, it's crazy.
It is crazy. I actually was on an interview a few weeks ago where they talked about how crime was reduced, and they're looking at statistics in cities where they've defunded the police, so there's no police to file the report for the crime. So it's false. The statistics are falsely low. And we're getting the new statistics coming in, and in fact, crime has gone up in all of those jurisdictions.
Exactly. The FBI was saying that crime was coming down to a lot of things, a lot of cities around. They were saying robbery and rape and burglary and murder and all that was coming down. So the statistic. Then they came back and said that the information is incomplete. They weren't getting any information from the inner city, so the whole thing was all screwed up. It was a talking point to counteract the Democrats' position. Now, before we take, there's a call online, but before I pull him in, I want to ask you, as a congressman, what's the first thing you're going to be able? What is the first thing you're going to do when you win?
Well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to submit or support legislation to reinstate the tariffs against China. We are going to support or recommend legislation to support locking down the border. We call it bad. We're going to build the wall. We're going to arrest the criminal illegals, and we're going to deport those coming in for those that aren't getting it, I mean, basically those folks come in and get counted in the census, and the census doesn't care if they're citizens or not. It increases representation, which is going to distort the House in favor of the Democrats. We can't have all this.
I have a question. What do you think about the criminal politicians across the country? What should we do to them?
Oh, I'm going to try to abide my language here, but I will say this. I am an absolute rhino hunter, and I am going to go to Washington, D.C., and I'm going to point out the bad guys. I'm going to point out those lining their pockets. In fact, one of the things we intend to do after we're elected is, I don't know if you know this, but there are wiretap laws in Virginia and in Maryland that stop you from recording a conversation, even if you're a part of it, where in any other state in the country, you're allowed to record a conversation as long as you're a part of the conversation without telling anybody. They do that so that they can make their deals and not get caught. We're gonna file suit against both states to retract those rules so that we can make our politicians legal again, make them legitimate, make them not liars. Call them out.
How about lobbying? Because lobbying is that, so say everybody runs for Congress or something or Senate, and they go in and get, they win, and they make all these promises and they win. As soon as they get to D.C. And start doing positions, they go against everything they pledged. They hand this out, and it's automatically getting all these stuff that's coming in. That's a problem. We call it D.C.-itis. What are you going to do to stop that?
So that's part of the reason I'm running, is because the sitting Republican in the seat I'm running for has exactly that, D.C.-itis, and I'm going to borrow that if you don't mind. I am going to be as transparent as possible. I hand out business cards that have my cell phone number on them. I plan on doing my own podcasts and my own virtual town halls where the people can call me out. I'm going to ask them what they want me to do for some of these votes, where there are things that the input is, you know, it's not obvious which direction to go. And I'm going to be there accountable for them to get and interact with me and call me out. Not only that, as I said earlier, I'm going to hunt the ones that don't do that kind of thing.
Okay. We have a caller that's been waiting patiently. I'm going to bring him on or her on and see if they have a question for you. Hold on. Okay.
Yes, please.
Okay. Hello, caller. What is your question? Who you on? What's your question to the congressional candidate?
Yeah. My name's Joe, and I didn't know you were going to have a candidate on, but I'm glad that you did, because what I like to do is I like to grill them. One of the questions that you had asked him is what he's going to do, and he's going to hunt down people like, who apparently aren't really constitutional. That's a good thing. But in reality, as a freshman representative, what you're going to do is absolutely nothing. You have no power, and that's as simple as that. The idea, though, that you're going to hunt them down is an idea that I have proposed to other candidates. And I've said to them, look, you've got no power. You're not going to be on any committees. You're a freshman. You're a third-rate citizen in D.C. or in any particular state. So what you can do, as you, the candidate, had suggested, if you have a podcast, you can go around, but you won't be popular, to every one of the Republican, your Republican colleagues, and ask them if they support you on certain issues. That's not the same as asking them to help you write up a bill. You're not asking them to endorse a bill. They won't do it. But if you ask them if they are supportive of particular issues and they say yes or no, hopefully you've got the guts to talk about it on your podcast or on your taxpayer-funded newsletter. And I have another thing I'd like to suggest. If you run, and as the host was saying, you get infected with D.C.-itis, would you be willing to have a petition so that your constituents can pull you out of office, not 2 years from now, not 4 years from now, but no later than 2 months from now, if you don't fulfill your campaign promises?
In other words, a recall.
Oh, I would be happy to back my promises. So first of all, thank you for the advice, and I appreciate it. And I recognize what you're saying. The other side of that is freshman bills that are very, very popular do tend to get attention. But you're right. You're absolutely right. I'm going to have to work my way through some of that. And I appreciate your advice. I think that, you know, popularity – so I'm a pit bull. I can go against the room as long as I'm 100% sure I'm right. And that's the way I tend to go into this. And common sense is missing. Again, I'm going to take the small businessman approach to most of the transparent, the common sense decisions. And I'm a far-right conservative, so that will be applicable, which this district follows, which is good news. And thank you. Yes, I will absolutely allow myself to be held accountable. And if there's an option to do that, the other side of that is if I'm getting called out, I'm going to resign. I'm doing this because I want to do good for my children and for my grandchildren. I'm not doing this to sell us out, and I feel like that's the whole problem of being sold out to China. They're buying us out one politician at a time.
So can I? I'd like to ask some more questions of the host and hostess.
Go ahead.
Don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. When you say you'd like to even resign, would you resign in 2 months?
I would resign in 2 months if it were at the point where that you basically decide that somehow I've turned on my beliefs and my values, which is not going to happen. So, I mean, yes, if I were to somehow do that, I would resign in 2 months, but I can tell you flat out that is not going to happen. I'm going to repeat that. It is absolutely not going to occur. Again, I'm in this for my children and for my grandchildren and for the United States of America, and I'm watching us get sold out. And it's infuriating. So I'm here to put a stop.
Well, I hear it. But the host also mentioned, man, this has been going on for over 100 years. As Harry Truman said, he's never met a politician who was honest when they entered politics, remained honest when they got out of it. So the thing is, will you be willing to have a petition? Forget about whether or not there's a law. Would you be willing to have a petition?
Yes. Absolutely.
And if your constituents sign that petition to a significant degree and they want you out, would you resign?
I absolutely would. And I got to tell you, the district I'm in is the kind of district that's going to hold me accountable one way or the other. I don't know that I'd have a lot of choice, but I would resign is the answer to your question.
Within 2 months.
Within 2 months. But let me remind you, I'm not a politician, and I know that the point of it is that once you get in the game, you're in the game. So I understand what you're saying. Within 2 months. But the only thing I'm hearing here is that, oh, you mean within 2 months of the declaration that I've done something wrong? Absolutely. Yes, I would.
No, that's your declaration that you've done something wrong. The constituents found out.
The people
right.
decide that I'm
okay.
not representing the people. This job is about representing the constituents of District 1, and that's what I intend to do. And if the conclusion is that's not what I'm doing, I will absolutely resign. Again, if I'm not doing good and if the people aren't appreciating what I'm doing, then I don't want to be in this business.
Well, I'm not asking about if they appreciate you. So you're going to have problems with log rolling. You can campaign on what, let's say you want to lower taxes and you want to be against abortion. Now, if a bill comes up, as everybody here knows, you can have the bill which will have something which will be for abortion, but then lowering taxes. So you ran on the campaign of lowering taxes and against abortion. But if you vote for this bill, you will fulfill your campaign promises about lowering taxes, but you will also be against your promise about being against abortion. That's the problem with the log rolling that we had.
Yeah, that you're right. I want to interrupt for a second. You're right. They put a lot of things in to try in these bills, and that's why it's like 1,000 pages or 10,000 pages, whatever it may be. And that's what they do is they pauperize it, that's a big problem.
They made a promise to the American people and voted on that they would read those bills and have a certain amount of time, and they still lied about that.
They always lie. What this man is saying is making a very firm commitment, and which everybody should listen to, okay? Because he's saying he's going to resign at 2 months if there's a petition to get him out of there, which means that he's not in there, supposedly, theoretically, not in there to be, you know, a politician who's going to spend millions of dollars to for a campaign to only get $150,000 salary. That's a man who makes that kind of commitment is showing me anyway that he's actually in there for the same intentions that the farmers were back in the 1800s in order to get business done constitutionally, hopefully.
I want to thank you for calling, okay?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Joe, thank you. J.D.? Okay. He's got a lot of good points there and everything else, but there is a thing that, and Congress likes to do this a lot, is to add different things to a bill and instead of having standalone.
Right,
and that's a problem.
They put a lot of pork in it.
Right.
The pork belly's analogy. That's exactly right. If I had
we
my way.
We need to go back to a bill being just one subject, one topic to vote
on. One page.
I was right
where you were at. Or if you're going to omnibus something, then give me the ability to vote on a section of it. It's the whole motion of putting everything.
No, you can't do that. It's all or nothing. Let me tell
you.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
It was me,
but let me
taxes and do something with abortion, because I'm not a thing person, I would not vote for the bill.
I would not vote
to kill life. I will never vote anything to kill life, ever.
Okay, I want to go through a bunch of issues here. Do you know that Biden this week expanded Title IX to basically eliminate girl sports when he added transgender to Title IX and basically allowing men, biological men, to play in women's sports across the country and more if you go. And they also, in a way, the same. If you go say something against this, you can end up in jail or say something wrong. It's the way it's set up. What's your reaction?
Oh, well, don't get me started. So one of the things that we have in my campaign trail is we talk about the tenets of communism. One of those read into Congress, and I've got a longer list. I don't have it in front of me. Back in 1963 was the normalization of promiscuity and homosexuality, which in today's parlance would be the normalization of LGBTQ+. Now, I have personally no issue with LGBTQ+. I'm not a racist. To each their own, but stay away from our children until they're 14, 15 years old.
No, they're not
going to
do that.
B, stay at the notion of opening Title IX to incorporate those folks is as wrong can be. You can't take somebody that's genetically born differently, put them into that scenario, and then call that an equal race.
You know why that was done? Because
no.
Michelle Obama's a man.
I have heard that theory. I don't have a theory on that theory, but I have absolutely heard that theory.
I got pictures.
Okay.
That's why that was done. And Biden didn't do this. Obama did it.
But either way, it's being challenged in the courts. Riley Grimes and her people and Alliance Defending Freedom and the Heritage Foundation both have legal action taken and ready. And you'll be hearing more and more of that stuff in the next few days, challenging that. So, and of course, Charlie Kirk and his group, Turning Point, they're all involved in trying to get that overturned. We got another caller on. Hold on. You're getting the calls. Let's hold up for another call, okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Hello, 909. What's your question for JD?
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. I'm calling to find out how we can, I guess, rein in the powers of bureaucracy. When this gig law had come along and President Biden had announced it, it wasn't anything done through Congress or any executive order. He did an end run around Congress and had used his Department of Labor to make that a rule that everyone has to follow. But that gig rule, because it's not a law, basically infringes on what the first part of the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of, you know, property or happiness, because it's taking away from our right to earn a living, basically. And Congress or government has no right to do that. And so I'm very upset about that, these end runs that are happening. And it's popular with the Democrat Party. They do it, and they know it's wrong. They know it's unconstitutional, whatever it is they're proposing or had proposed and put into play. And they expect to be to have it taken to court and overturned. But in the meantime, while we're waiting for that court to make any decision in the right direction and overturn it, it's done its damage already. And so I was just wondering how you felt about that, and if you think you can get other people on board within Congress to do something about that. I know this particular Congress and session have began to rein in the powers of these bureaucracy agencies that are overstepping their reach. But is there something that can be done, not necessarily through you, because, again, you're a freshman, and so I understand that your powers are limited when you get there, or your influence, but that doesn't mean that you can't influence some change. But is there a way to actually take back the powers that Congress had delegated to these agencies, can't even remember when, in order to put that oversight back into Congress? Because right now they're useless. And that was my question. Thank you very much.
Okay. JD, can you answer that?
Absolutely.
What's your opinion?
I mean, first of all, of course, you know, we would support any legislation that would help to rein in regulatory controls by these agencies that overstep their boundaries and then some. One of the biggest problems, though, that we see is that the media isn't doing what the media should be doing for our country, and present company obviously excluded. You're telling a story. But the problem we have is mainstream media, it doesn't really matter which category or which side you're on, are manipulating the narrative. So one of the things that our team has in mind is to propose a solution to that, to essentially make the older folks in the audience, the Walter Cronkites of the world, or the ethic journalism of the world, to restore that to be the plateau or the right thing to do, which today it isn't. Today and I don't blame the journalists. The journalists come in with the stories, and then the editors and or the controllers of the media turn around and say no. And that's not freedom of the press. And without the press pressing the government to do the right thing and pointing out scenarios where they're overreaching, there's no people to back it. And unfortunately, we're all being snowed in a lot of that. And we're basically, if we don't know, if we're not being told as people there's a problem, then the people themselves can't get up and support something. But by all means, I will be in support of anything to restrict the overbearingness of some of these agencies.
Also, we got a question in the chat room, was what if the bill is out of control that he is assigned? Maybe it was one of one he had no control, and he is one of the good ones that we need to stay in Congress. Would you still resign on that question going back? If you had no control, in other words, if you had no control of what's going on, and what would you do?
So I alluded to this earlier. If we've got a bill, I mean, obviously, you know, when I get there, we're still going to have the log roll bill, right? So what am I going to do there? And in my opinion, if there's not a right and clear answer, then I'm going to go to the people. And the fact that we'll have our own podcasts and our own town halls, the virtual town halls, people can come and talk and we'll get an interaction and figure out what the people of the District 1 want. And that's what we'll wind up representing. And then when people ask me why I did it, I'll be able to come back and say, because at the end of the day, that was what the people of D1 wanted, MIO1 wanted.
Do you think that TF should be kicked out of Congress as a traitor or violating her oath because of support to Dearborn and Hamas and
yes.
Their support?
Yes. The whole concept, and this goes to the earlier, we are being infiltrated. It's one thing to come in as an immigrant and to want to be a part of America and enjoy the American way, and we are a melting pot. But if really what you're coming here for is to bring your anger and your hatred of America and to essentially become a foreign country entity within our country, you're not welcome here. I'm not okay with that. And the notion of Hamas, the whole thing with the Hamas, the whole thing is just frustrating to me. Israel have been our partners forever. I'll stop there.
Right now, you got all these. Same thing with Ilhan Omar and her daughter. Her daughter was arrested in Columbia University for doing the same idea with the so-called Palestinian and all that stuff. But if they actually know the history, they would know that Israel has been Israel since the beginning of time. They're the only country or state, whatever you want to call them, in that one. They never left the land. They always had that land. They never kicked off that land. They've always been there since the beginning of time. It's their land. That's why it's God's chosen people. And with Passover starting tomorrow night, what do you think is going on with the so-called Democrats/communists/anti-Semitics in this country and Congress and stuff, and the way they're trying to force Israel to do what they're doing with Bibi and all that.
Again, I feel, not to overbeat the drum, but it's a combination of we're being gradually infiltrated or bought out, politician by politician. Either in the case of Dearborn, they're essentially taking over the local government and, becoming a little Middle East, or, in the case of the battery plant in Big Rapids, where Gretchen Whitmer is in favor, and we're spending $695 million Michigan taxpayer dollars to build a battery plant for China, where you have to declare allegiance to the CCP to work at that plant. I mean, it's astounding to me. They're selling us out. And
yeah, she's
selling.
Find a way to make a law that will prevent China, the CCP, to buy land, to take land away in this country?
I do not believe that a communist country that has declared war against us should be allowed to own land in our country. They don't allow us to own land in their country.
Well, each state needs to stop it.
That's absolutely correct. But, in Gretchen Whitmer's case, clearly she's on the take. There's no other excuse for that.
Do you know where Gretchen Whitmer's going when Trump comes in the White House?
Nowhere.
Think about that. Probably to Gitmo. That's a trade.
I figured you were going to say straight to jail.
No, they're going to be held as a traitor.
Yeah, so
seriously.
They can do tribunals.
Right.
Now, going back to securing the border, what Lagan Riley and others all over the place that were killed by illegals, what would you do? Would you vote to eliminate sanctuary cities and states in this country?
I would defund them. I would no federal funding whatsoever. And in my mind, those are criminal locations that they've essentially declared themselves a criminal sanctuary. It's like live and die in L.A. concept. I mean, it's no, by no means should we be supporting them, let alone having them declaring a state of emergency and asking for extra money when they're asking for those folks to come in. The whole thing is so astounding to me, I can't begin to explain how frustrating it is to watch.
Do you know what HR 2 was from last session? Back last year when I first took over Congress, the Republicans, they had a bill called HR 2 to restore every one of Trump's policies at the border. It was passed overwhelmingly in the House, but it's been sitting in the Senate seat, in the Senate. But Chuck Schumer, Crybaby Chuck, he's laying sitting in the Senate. Same thing with protecting the life of a botched abortion babies. But that also has been sitting on Schumer's desk. Would you support another HR 2 to make sure they secure the borders and return Trump's policies to secure the border?
I absolutely would support HR 2, yes. I just had a discussion with a constituent last night who insisted that Biden had done nothing to open the borders. And I said, I'm not sure what nothing means, but if you count all the Trump's doctrine that had to be reversed, that he reversed the first day he was, or whatever, the first week he was in office, he did plenty to open that border back up.
He did. He reversed. He did executive order. As soon as he signed, got sworn into office, he did tons and tons of executive order reversing everything that Trump did on the border. And it was deliberately set up. The other thing is, now that Roe v. Wade was overturned and it's back to the states, do you support states' rights and deciding about which states have abortion, what states don't have abortion?
I do. I'm a traditionalist, and frankly, you know, I believe that the decision was the correct decision. And, you know, I do get that there's an awful lot of hype over it. I consider it a distraction. I think that it takes away, because at the end of the day, I'm not going to change your mind about it, and you're not going to change my mind about it. So what it becomes is a distraction from what really we should be talking about. But I do agree that it should be states' rights, states' decision.
And that's similar to what Trump said when he had his speech a couple of weeks ago, when he said that it should be up to the states. And he supports that. And he thinks that if you're going to abort a child, you got up to 15 weeks to do it. And he believes that's on the health of the mother, and incest or rape are the exceptions. So that's what he's doing. And that we shouldn't have a national, ban on anything on that. It's up to the states' rights. That's what the Constitution is all about.
Completely agree. I'm a traditional.
Now the other thing is being.
Do you think we should have given money to Ukraine, Israel, and all those other countries?
I believe in NATO. I think that NATO should be the ones doing that and driving that. I recognize, though, that we have a responsibility, a world responsibility to help out. But if we're going to do that, not till after we've locked our own borders down, we've helped our own veterans, we've helped our own homeless. I mean, we're suddenly the world's keeper, and there's a line between our responsibility to help and being the world's keeper, in my opinion.
Do you think Biden's going to use this money that we're giving to BB as a weapon to be used against BB?
I would say more than likely.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and I said that, and Bibi Netanyahu will tell Biden slash bum to go screw or go scratch, because he will do it anyway to do whatever he see. Netanyahu has a country the size of Jersey, and he needs to protect his citizens. And Biden is so weak and everything, he don't really care. He's looking for a vote right now in Michigan, among other places. And he has thrown Israel pretty much under the bus several times already in doing that. And so Bibi knows that, and he's going to do what he has to do to protect the citizens, such as going into Rafah, which he's doing right now as we speak.
What kind of bill do you think will help the American people economically to lower inflation and bring down sensible pricing throughout everything, like really fast? What kind of bill do you think we need?
Reinstate tariffs against China. There was no reason whatsoever to remove the tariffs against China. It wasn't hurting anybody. Our prices had not inflated distortedly. We had jobs coming back to the United States. And one of the first things Biden did, besides getting rid of all the executive orders about the border, was to kill the executive orders against China. And why? I mean, we come back to why, right? Pockets are getting greased left and right. We are being sold out. It's blatantly obvious if you're paying attention to what's going on. And as as the first caller pointed out, right, the gentleman that I'm running against, he was great in his first two terms. He's in his third term. Net worth went up 2.5 million. Voting record went down 2.5 million. You know, that to me is China buying us out. They control our pharmaceuticals. If we were to go to war with them, anybody with a heart problem would be stuck. It takes 6 months for the United States to get us back on our own pharmaceutical plan, and that, to me, is astounding. Where are our defense? You know, how come we're not paying attention to all of that?
Is the district aware of what this congressman is doing?
Oh, yes, yes. When we announced that we were coming out of the Senate race and into the U.S. Congress race last week, my phone's been blowing up ever since.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you have a primary, or you're just running?
We have a primary on August 6th. There's myself, and there's actually one other candidate I'm hearing about who's actually a disabled vet. He's in his early 30s. So I've read he doesn't seem like a bad guy. The only thing is Michigan District 1. I don't know that he's going to be seasoned enough to get the vote, but they are absolutely not happy with the sitting candidate, with the sitting representative.
Okay.
And he is a Republican, right? The sitting
yes.
candidate.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So you're flipping a rhino.
Yep, that's exactly right. I'm going to start out flipping a rhino, and then I'm going to find them, target them, and point them out to the world.
There you go. Another big thing that's happening is that the left is going after your guns and the NRA. Are you a supporter of the NRA and the Second Amendment?
I am an NRA member. I have my concealed pistol license, and I carry where it's legal to carry. I'm an avid sportsman and hunter. I am absolute and home defense. I am absolutely pro 2A.
Yeah, you're probably going to get called somewhere down the line to extend your NRA membership for different levels in the next few days or weeks if you haven't got one already. the Second Amendment is being attacked left and right with that. And you're a thorough support of the Second Amendment, which is good. But they really are working hard to take away our weapons, and that's a big thing there. And as soon as you get to Congress, how would you protect the Second Amendment?
So here's my thing with the Second Amendment. This is probably my most controversial topic. I believe that the concept of chasing after 2A anytime there's a school shooting or a problem like that is, again,
distraction. And I mean, God help the families, et cetera, but it's a distraction. At the end of the day, what happened is in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, on into the millennium, we defunded mental health. And when we did that, we did our country a huge disservice. And if you find, if you go and you look at the folks that are doing the wrong thing with weapons, they're either criminals or they're mentally ill. And the fact that we don't support our mentally ill is horrible to me. Now, I'm a proponent for reinstating mental health support in order to alleviate these kinds of situations. If you think about it, generation, you know, I talk to my parents, they don't remember school shootings. That's a phenomenon that came along. You'll hear people blame it on the internet, but it predates the internet. And it predates the shoot 'em up games that people want to blame it on. The reality is we don't take care of our mentally ill.
No.
And I hope.
That's a big thing. And one of the things years ago, everything in the 70s and 80s and even part of the 90s, everybody had mental health issues. They thought it was schizophrenia, something like that. And they, because they didn't understand the spectrum of autism and the different levels of it. And now as you get into the 2000s and then into the 2010, 2020, you start to understand more and more about the different aspects of autism. And a lot of the people that are misdiagnosed with being schizo are actually in the spectrum of autism, and they're giving them wrong medicines and send some more. And mental health is a big issue. Most, if not all, the incidents of mass shootings, especially school shootings, came from people who have mental health issues. In fact, the last five, I believe, or six of the last of the mass shootings, especially in schools, came from people from transgender. Every one of them was transgender, and we always believe that transgender is a mental health issue. And I think that's doing that. One, in fact, the one in Nashville, they still haven't released the memoir, if you want to call that, on that person. And so the mental health is a big issue there. But the Second Amendment is important because the Second Amendment wasn't there for protection from a robber or something. It wasn't there to go hunting. It was made by the Founding Fathers to protect us and protect the Constitution from tyrannical government. It was set up to for the American people to, if the government becomes tyrannical, to get, use the weapons that we have on hand to change the government, if we can't do it by ballot. That's how
you're
it's
absolutely
done.
Right. There are, and in the district that I will be representing, there are a heck of a lot of people feeling disenfranchised up there. I'll just put it that way. But no, I'm a firm believer in the Second Amendment, the ability of the citizen to keep and bear arms in case of a tyrannic government or any other reason that they may absolutely need to have it to defend themselves. And that's
Yeah, we're running down on time, but I want to get this in. Election integrity, it's very important. Michigan is one of the places that we know that 2020 was stolen, along with, because there was John James should have won his race, and he was winning, and then all of a sudden he lost it back then. And then you got a bunch of others coming in. And so we need election integrity in there. And so as a candidate for CD1 in Michigan, how would you cover to make sure your election is legit and not stolen?
So I mentioned that I'm a small businessman. I'm an IT guy. I actually helped roll out the accounting, purchasing, and inventory systems for Michigan back in the early 90s. So our team is pulling the qualified voters file, which is what Michigan calls their qualified voters, which gives you the voting history. We've asked for that. We FOIA'd it, and we have it coming to us. We just got the letter. We just have to pay the fee, and it's going to be coming to us. I have a team standing by to hit that with AI software to look for indiscrepancies. And I can tell you that one of my former U.S. Senate opponents
already crossed the list just for obvious things and found over 20,000 voters in a couple of counties that were registered to vote before they were born and voted in the 2022 election.
Wow.
Wow.
That's cool. They're not going after dead people now. They're going after the preborn. It's crazy.
There is a guy
named Scott Pressler. He works with Lara Trump and others, and he works with me and a bunch of others who's very big on election integrity. He's out there registering voters to Republican and all that stuff. He has a thing called Early Vote Action. I don't know if you get the app on that, but it's Early Vote Action. And he works with various places and stuff to get the people out to vote. And he's very big on election integrity. Same thing with Turning Point, Charlie Kirk. And he's around there working around the areas where he's getting the Gen Zs and stuff and working in the Republican. He's got a bunch of teams set up in Arizona. And all he wants to do Michigan and Georgia and a bunch of other states. And, of course, Trump is doing that. And they just announced that they're going to hire something like several hundred thousand people to make sure that the election is legit. Plus, they got hundreds of lawyers and stuff all set up. So
yeah, I saw something on that. There are people in Facebook that don't think that's going to happen.
And no, it's already happening. We already took care of it. We've done a lot of good stuff already. And that's one of the things that they're actually going after Scott Pressler now a little bit because we caught a lot, like you did like the other guy did. But the point is, that's what you got to watch out for. We on the Truth Is Out, the Voice of the People Media Network, it's endorsing J.D. Wilson as for Congress. We're endorsing you, so this way you have that. Okay.
A suggestion. Two suggestions.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Two suggestions.
Thank you very much. I very much appreciate that.
I have a couple of suggestions for you. Build the ground game. Watch for illegals being registered.
Yes.
Talk to the Heritage Foundation. They're on the cover moment for
the
few.
And campaign. Go door to door. Shake hands.
Yes, we will and are.
Be personable.
Okay. One other thing I want to put in, because the gentleman in this chat room was talking about NATO. First of all, NATO was originally designed to protect against the Soviet Union, right on that. But then he said the Soviet Union's no more. But it is still around. Putin wants to restore the Soviet Union in a lot of ways. And he is marching in that direction. That's part of the reason why he wants Ukraine. He's also going to try and get Poland and the other states eventually if we don't stop him in Ukraine. That is the one thing that we all agree on. And Trump, even though Trump is not happy with NATO, that's because they're not. The reason why he's not happy is because they're not paying their fair share. They have to put more money into security. They can't depend on us all the time, and they need to pay their fair share to put their skin in the game, and that's what that is. Any comment on that?
No, I completely agree with Trump on that topic. He absolutely, 100%. NATO needs to contribute their fair share.
Because it's not, like the gentleman in the chat room said, the Soviet Union's not there anymore, but it is, because as long as Putin is form of KGB, it's there.
As long as Putin is in control, and that's the old guard, I mean, you can call it whatever you want to. At the end of the day, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
That's it.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to
tell our audience. Yep. Can you tell our audience where they can find your website and become volunteers and donate?
Yes, please. I need all the help I can get to help save Michigan and get us back on track. The website is stopbidennow.com. And there you can sign up for the newsletter, which gets you invited to the webcasts and to the town halls. You can volunteer, you can contribute, and we are a grassroots run. We need all the help we can get, and we're going to take these rhinos
call them out, and get them out of there.
And the deep state.
In the deep state. StopBidenNow.com.
I want to thank you so much, JD, for coming on. Time flies when you have an hour. And I would like to have you back on again in the near future once you get closer to your primary.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to it. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the endorsement.
You can look at your website.
If you take the link that we gave you, I'm going to give you follow the link tomorrow after it's uploaded, and we'll give you you can use that as a marketing tool and everything. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very, very much.
You're quite welcome.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Evening. Enjoy.
We will. We appreciate
thank
it.
You.
All right. Bye
bye. Bye.
Okay, we're running out of time.
Scarlett Butler telling everybody that I definitely endorse J.D. Wilson. Great man. I'm 100% behind him. We need to get rid of the rhinos and the deep state and the crappos. They're being nuts and selfish and evil. And I'll be back on Wednesday. And God bless Israel. God bless this country. This is a great country, folks. And anybody who doesn't think so, you know, you can leave. Nobody wants, okay? And good night, everybody. Bye.
All right. And we're running out of time. I'm going to just get Mark for a second, and then we'll start the show. Okay, Mark.
One other thing too, Digital Watch is also doing the election too as well, guys. So I just want to let you guys know that too as well. So you had a guest on today. So it worked out fine for me. So thank you so much.
It was good.
Don't fall for the trap. Democrats are full of crap right now. And, and everybody's attacking the new Speaker of the House. The guy's really trying really hard, guys. He really is. But,
there's just a bunch of stuff. But anyway, let me go. We got to end the show because we only have a couple minutes left. I want to thank you so much for staying on, listening, Mark. And everyone, I'd like to thank J.D. Wilson for his coming on, bringing voice. Our wife called in. Him in the chat room and the gentleman that called in earlier, and we'll have a free show on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. The Truth is Out There, Voice of People Radio Show. We'll see you then. Happy Passover, and good luck on tomorrow starts the hearing for the opening statements for the Trump thing. Thursday is the Supreme Court. I want a very big week. We'll see you on Wednesday. Great evening. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit. Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA. There's pride in every American heart, and it's time.